Hi, this is Phoebe Blamey, and welcome to the Happy Money Journey podcast for today. I'm really excited to have you here. I have spent most of my life working in financial services. I'm a qualified financial planner and I have my own mortgage broking business since 2006. I know that as a busy woman, it's really hard to get your life into some sort of shape. And so I'm here to help you on your own happy money journey. So this week, I am going to talk about staff in small business. And the reason I want to talk about the staff in small business is because my staff and my business has just gone through a big upgrade. We've changed a whole lot of stuff. We're looking at new directions. And because we're looking at new directions, we're looking at new people to go on that journey with us. And it's been amazing. I think I've recruited really well. I'm really happy about the team that we've built. And on the way there, we've lost a few people, and that it's good as well. And the reason I say that is because I think that there are four elements to when we look at our staff and we look at our business. One is, what are the business needs? What are our gaps and what are our strengths? The second is, are we hiring the right people? Who are we hiring and what are they doing? The third is creating the great culture around them. And the fourth is ourselves as leaders and how we're showing up for our business and our staff. So let's start with the business. How do you know what you need in your business as far as staff goes? Because I think one of the challenges of employing staff is we kind of know that we need them. We may not be able to afford to have them at that moment. We're kind of looking to the future and we know that eventually we're going to have to hire someone. We're not quite ready to yet, because as soon as we hire someone, we've then got the ongoing responsibility of their wages. And when we've got the ongoing responsibility of their wages, we probably need to be making a little bit more money and we probably need to be having a little bit more security. And I've been in business for 16 years and it's always really hard to make that leap. And I can tell you now, when you do make the leap, if you make it planned and you know what your backup strategy is, then everything works out fine. Having more staff frees you up to do the things that you need to do to build the business, and the business will actually grow when you get more people on board. It really does make a huge difference, but you can't get there until you're ready to get there. So what do we do in the meantime? One of the things that we do is look at what we can outsource and what we can automate to what we remain in-house. And those two things, I think, really make a difference. So I outsource a lot of our social media. I don't have the time or the energy to sit there and create 1,000 tiles. But if I outsource it, it looks amazing. It looks really on brand. I've got a really good person that does it. If anyone knows Sarah at Social Broker, really good at doing mortgage brokers' social media. It's on point. It creates conversation. I automate payroll. I automate a lot of our newsletters, employee satisfaction surveys. All of those things are unexpectedly automated. I automate leave. I automate a lot of our payment systems. It makes it easier for me, but I do check in with that once a week. And I had previously been automating our bookkeeping, but I'm actually bringing that back to me because I need to have my hands on my money at the moment while we're going through this big and massive change. I need to know where our expenses are, making sure that we're actually covering everything off. I need to be in control completely of that at the moment. When we're employing people, we need to make sure that we're also employing them within the law. I've had a situation where I'd employed someone and it turned out so sadly, because they were so good at what they did, that they didn't have the right visa to be working for me. I'm never going to have that happen again, because now we've got an absolute protocol for what we do before we put someone on. These things are basics, but they're really important. And then to work out who that person needs to be. So what are the strengths in your business or of yourself? And what are the gaps that you need filling? And is it going to be okay just to have someone that can fill those gaps? Or do you need someone who's a mirror of yourself? Or do you need yourself 2.0 that may have some of the operational and finance and HR skills that you may not be bringing to the business, but they might, because you're really strong at sales and marketing and creativity and design? You can start working out who that person needs to be. And I've actually gone that far when I've been looking for a person to write down all the things that I want them to be. So I want them to be organized. I want them to be, I want them to live locally. I want them to be someone who enjoys having music during the day, someone who's got a bright, sparkly personality, but is at the same time really good at fine-tuning very detailed, difficult things. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes with what we want that person to be. And sometimes just writing down the traits and attributes helps you get a really clear picture of who that person is and then the job that they'll be doing. So the roles and responsibilities you also need to write out to a degree, because I think also in the small business, and particularly I'm going through this big period of transition, I need them to have the attributes over them needing to necessarily fit into a specific role, because their roles will change as the business grows and develops. So I want someone who's absolutely able to put up with that kind of change, in fact, thrives on that kind of change. If I was in a different business and I wanted someone to do the same thing every day, then I'd be looking for a very different character to fulfill that role. So think very carefully about what you're looking for, not just in the role or for to meet the role, but to meet the changing needs of the business. Have a short list. Have the things that are absolute deal breakers. You want someone that lives within 15, 20 minutes of your business, because, you know, sometimes you're going to ask them to do overtime. You want them to be close by because you want them to have an understanding of the local area. Or you're happy for them to work from home 90% of the time, so it doesn't matter where they live. And those things are also big considerations. I've got plenty of friends that have businesses where they have everyone completely living wherever they live, because it doesn't matter because everyone works from home. I am a face-to-face. I like everyone to be co-located, because then we can have good discussions. I can sense training gaps, and we can make things work in a very team-orientated way. So having everyone in the same place for me is absolutely paramount to their success. The next thing is, who are those people? So I said before, write a list of who they are, but it's also making sure that we're hiring people, the right people in the right ways. So understanding what it is that we need from our people and making sure that they're going to be the most resilient, the best person for that particular role. Now, remembering when we're organizing and looking for staff, that most of the staff that we employ are going to want autonomy, they're going to want connection, and they're going to want mastery over what they do. So we're going to need to provide some things to put that in place. And one of the things that I learned when I was doing the coaching is the concept of contracting. So as you're employing someone, you're giving them an initial letter of offer and a job description, and then you're giving them a formal employment contract. But you're also having a conversation with them, and the conversation with them needs to start with the sentence, "How will we work together?" Because understanding how we work together is what's going to make a real difference for them and for you. It's the verbal contract that you've got for who does what, when, what behaviors we'd like to see from them, and what behaviors they'd like to see from us. So how are we going to work together? So how are we going to work together is one of my key questions when I'm employing someone. So going through, even at the interview stage, just going through that process. To that end, a lot of the people that I've really successfully employed are the people that I've known for many years before they started working with me. And I really love that. Or people that have been referred. If you have a good network of clients or friends, putting the ad on Facebook and asking your friends and family and current clients to recommend someone is so much more powerful than using a recruitment agency that is going to charge you a lot of money. And certainly I've used recruitment agencies and got some really good results, but just seem to get better results from that really warm referral. And I know a lot of people in hospitality do that really warm referral. Have you got any friends that would like to work here as well? And then you build a team. So while we're looking at the who, we're also looking at the who do we let go. And any small business owner will tell you that they have hung on to staff that they know are no longer engaged with their work just because they're good at their job. They're not hating on it. They're just phoning it in. They're not joining in team activities. They're not doing things themselves that make them feel autonomous, motivated, connected, And at that stage, it's really important to start having the conversation around where would you like to go from here and how can I as the business owner help you get there? Because isn't it nice to have a nice smooth transition of someone leaving and someone else coming in where you may have the opportunity to have them train that person? Or are you looking at someone who's just negative, just sitting in their corner, not liking what they're doing, not actually giving anything to the team and the organization, but you're keeping them there because they're good at their job? Really stop it. That person doesn't want to be there. It's time to let them go, and let them go nicely, and let them go legally, and let them go before you lose your temper at someone who is actually deliberately not doing the right thing for your business. And you don't want to be leaving someone on tense terms. You know, we'd rather not lose our temper. Often people talk about their team behaving like children or not doing what they expect them to do. And I think with that, and that's in making sure that as we're onboarding someone, we're introducing them to the team norms. What's our dress code? I've only ever had to send someone home for being dressed inappropriately once. This is something that I think is such a basic, just come to work in clean clothes. And this is something that I think is a no-brainer. Just come to work in clean clothes, looking nice, looking presentable. Because we've got customers walking in and out all day. We're a part of our local community and we want to be seen to be someone who's dynamic and fun and casual, but not so casual that we look like we've just got out of bed. I've seriously had to send someone home for being dressed inappropriately once in my life. And I think that's because most people know that these social norms are a big part of how we work together and how we form our team. Knowing how we're behaving in meetings, knowing rules about silly things like taking personal phone calls or, you know, leaving early or coming in late. How do we address this? Where do we have lunch? Do we all have lunch together? You know, we're a small team. It can be like that. So we want to make sure that the people that are in our team know about those social, less formal norms. But we also want to make sure, and this really speaks to culture, that we're training them formally and informally. And formal training is something that my daughter, Elodie, really brought into the business. And I was really glad that she did. So a couple of hours a week on formal training, make sure that we've got everyone skilled up to do the things that they need to be doing. Informal training is more catching someone who's confused and helping them out of a situation. Prior to Elodie working, I know this is going to sound terrible, but prior to Elodie working in the business, I didn't do formal training. I just sort of onboarded people, found their gaps, filled them in, and just let people kind of work it out for themselves. It's sort of strange to think of it like that now, because now I've got this whole formal training thing in my business where we, you know, take the couple of hours and we learn the stuff and we do all the stuff. But yeah, that formal training was something that, because I was a small business owner, I assumed learn on the job meant learn on the job. Formally training the staff lets you know their gaps and what they're good at, and it lets you see them in a different light. And particularly if you get your staff to train other staff, that really brings out, because there's in yoga particularly, being a teacher is the best way to learn. And being a teacher is a really great way of, it helps the team bond, but also it really helps that person learn more about what they don't know by the questions the other person's asking them, because they're not looking at the boss, they're looking at each other. And yeah, and I just think that creates that great team kind of environment, that great team atmosphere. That speaks to the culture. Rewarding people for what they're doing and rewarding people for living your values. I think we've got core behaviors, we've got core values, we've got core competencies. And when we see people demonstrating those core values, reward them. Reward them with a word, or reward them with a certificate, or reward them with a voucher. But rewarding people for doing their job right and doing it well inspires them to do it better. And I don't mean reward in a way that it creates competition with the team, but it values all members of the team, because the reward isn't necessarily just sales-based or results-based. It's seriously values-based. So anyone can be participating in that, because everyone's got the opportunity to live by our values. And I really think that gets people kind of moving and inspired. Interesting, though, when we're rewarding people, it's important to understand what they like to be how they like to be recognized. Because if we're recognizing people by shouting out and they're a bit of an introvert and they don't like that at all, in fact, it makes them feel put upon and under pressure, then that's something that needs to be discussed. And again, discussed from the point of view of this is your culture, but also as in this is your organizational culture, but also from this is your personal way of liking to do things. So making sure that when we're rewarding and recognizing people that it actually works, it actually lands for them. I think it's similar to if anyone's read Five Love Languages, how we like to be loved is often how we like to be rewarded. So is it a gift? Is it words of affirmation? All of those things really play into making individuals feel like part of the team because they're being rewarded in the way that they like to be rewarded. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, we want to have formal and informal training for our team. We want to make sure that when we're onboarding people and also ongoing, that people understand our cultural mores, that they understand our norms. And also we want to make sure that we're rewarding people for the behavior that they want to be. We also want to make sure that we're rewarding people for behaviors we want them to show and that they're showing up for each other. So just tracking back on that, we want to make sure that, you know, the people that are working with us know the cultural norms of our organization, that they know that we offer them formal and informal training and that formal training is done regularly and that when we're rewarding them, we're rewarding them for values and behaviors without pitting people against each other in a competitive way, because we want our rewards to be building our team and our culture. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is ourselves as leaders. And as a leader, oh my God, I've got it wrong so many times and missed marks and, you know, let my ego get in the way of getting something really great out of my team and taking back control all the time. That was one of my worst traits, I think, is that I'd have a team member doing something and they'd be doing it too slowly or doing it wrong. And rather than take the time to train them about it, I'd just grab it back from them and say, hey, I'll do it. You know what that leads to? Burnout. It leads to an absolute feeling all the time of overwhelmed. It leads you to thinking, oh my God, I can't trust these people because they never get it right. But at the same time, I wasn't offering them any formal training and I wasn't giving them the opportunity to get it wrong so that they could get it right. I was just taking it back from them. And it's because I think in our small business, our ego is so wound up with the results from our business. And it's hard to let things go. It's hard to let good enough go when, you know, we're expecting everything to be perfect. And it's hard to trust. So one of the really important things about employing staff in your small business is actually delegating any work to them, because you don't want them sitting there twiddling their thumbs while you're working till 11 o'clock at night. That stuff just doesn't work for very long. So working on the business and not in it means creating formal training programs. It means letting your ego go and making sure that you put some trust in your team, listening and working with their opinions, because what they want is the autonomy, the connection, and the mastery over their role to make them feel fulfilled. And you want the same thing, yes, but it's your business. So you've got a whole lot of other things that are going on for you in it. So letting some of your ego go and letting your team actually run some things can lead to the most amazing growth and ideas that you never would have had, because you've got buy-in from people that are as invested as you are, even though they're staff and you're the business owner. Your perfectionism gets in the way all the time, right? You want everything to go out absolutely perfectly. And sometimes good enough has to be enough, because if it's not, you're going to get stuck on perfection. You're never actually going to produce anything. Get something out there. Get your minimum viable product out there. Do something. And as you learn and grow, it will get better and better and bigger and bigger. And your lack of trust comes from not formally training your staff, right? So having those 2 hours training a week is an investment in yourself as well as an investment in your staff. It's going to give you the ability to let a whole lot of stuff go so that they can start working independently, autonomously, knowing what they're doing, having mastery over what they're doing, and able to organize their own work schedules so that they can be flexible. And this makes your business better, because when you've got staff that are, because when you've got staff that are invested, you've got this amazing team. And when you've got this amazing team, your business will flourish, it will thrive, it will grow, and it will become something bigger than you ever thought it was going to be. But it takes work and it takes effort. So I have dropped into the, I've dropped in for this week, the Happy Business Journey, a free download just for you to help you organize some of those things. Jump onto the show notes and have a read. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. I know I went a little longer, but there's so much to say about staff and I'd really love But there's so much to say about staff, and they're such an important part of our business and our lives, and we spend so much time together that having a business that flourishes is so much more fun than having a business where people are unhappy and you're overwhelmed and overworked. So enjoy your journey this week. I can't wait to speak to you again next week. And always, if you want to drop into our socials, we're Happy Money Journey. And if you want to come and visit us on the website, it's Phoebe Blamey. I am here, the team is here, and we would love to hear more back from you. So join the Happy Honeys on Facebook and become part of our network of great women. I look forward to speaking to you again and become part of our network. We'd love to see you there. Have a great week, and I'll join you again next week. Disclaimer. Just a reminder that the advice that's contained in this podcast is general in nature. It doesn't take into account your individual needs and circumstances, and we recommend considering the appropriateness of any advice to your individual circumstances and needs. We always recommend seeking the advice of an expert before making any financial decisions.